like disease. Temperatures rising soon, we're gonna have a fever. We can't keep doing what we've been doing so long, but we can turn it around if we just come together. We can turn it around and show you how to get it done.
Hello, green greetings, and happy new year to you from the Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and producer of the show as well. Missed last week. We took a break. You probably did, too, for Christmas, but we are back now because it is a whole new year, 2013. We have avoided the fiscal cliff, at least for now, but we are still headed for a climate cliff, of course, and there's lots of news to report. Our first story, very, very sorry and sad to have to bring this news. We lost a huge leader, a huge visionary, and a rising star in the environmental community last week. In fact, the day after Christmas, the executive director of Rainforest Action Network, one of the most incredibly successful, powerful, impactful green groups out there, Rebecca Tarbatten, was swimming off the coast of Mexico and apparently got into some rough surf and was brought to shore but was not able to be revived, and she very sadly, very tragically passed away last week. And members of RAN and in the entire environmental community are still reeling from that shocking tragedy. She was only 39 years old. We're going to be speaking with someone from Rainforest Action Network who knew her and her work very well in just a moment. Then D.R. Tucker, my co-host, will be joining me to be talking about some of the news. The wind tax credit was saved for at least another year. That was part of the early this morning negotiations going on in Congress in connection to the fiscal cliff. And in our last segment, we'll be speaking with a member, a very active member of the Citizens Climate Lobby, Eleanor Sparks. Not only is a very prolific writer of letters to the editor on climate change and the need for a carbon tax, she's also the author of a children's book on climate change. So that is an outline of our show today. Also hoping to get someone from the Wind Energy Association to talk about this news and what it will mean for the wind industry. But they're all in an emergency meeting because they just learned just hours ago that they will get that production tax credit extended. So if someone gets out of that meeting while we're still on the air, we will get some comment on that. But first, I want to welcome to the program Lindsay Allen. She is a forest program director with Rainforest Action Network to talk about this very shocking and sad news about the passing of Becky Tarbatten. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Becky.
Hard to say Happy New Year with this devastating news, but it is a new year, and we are beginning it with without the leadership of this incredible woman. For those who are not familiar with her or even Rainforest Action Network, if you can just give us a little bit of background, how long was Becky at the helm? We'll talk about her incredible accomplishments and the huge void left behind.
Yeah, Becky came to the helm of RAN just a couple years ago, and prior to that, she was working in our climate and energy team, fighting to stop banks from investing in mountaintop removal. And RAN as a whole, we have a long 26-year history in challenging corporate power, which was one of the things that Becky was great at, mobilizing people around. And we have two program areas. So we work to protect ancient forests and their inhabitants. And we're also fighting climate change and specifically looking at major financiers on Wall Street who are continuing to invest in the most dirty energy forms out there and catapulting us toward pretty severe climate impacts.
She was a pretty fearless leader, quite passionate, you know, but still had kind of a gentle demeanor.
That's very true. That was one of the things that we all loved about her, is her fearlessness. And, you know, she would motivate staff at different times. And she, one of the things that she said to me that really resonated is she said, listen, it's not about not being nervous or afraid to, you know, step up to those who are in power and to challenge what they're saying, but it's about doing it anyway, because it's what needs to be done. And especially in a time where, you know, catastrophic climate change is on our doorstep, as we saw with the Superstorm Sandy and many other incidents that are getting more and more common. And I think that it's all the more time for us to heed our words and to challenge ourselves to get out there and say, listen, this this way that we have, this approach to living on Earth that we're pursuing right now is not sustainable, and it's not something that we can continue to ignore. But it's a place where we need to, pick up the baton from Becky and say, yes, let's, speak truth to power and let's push ourselves to do more. And I think for Rainforest Action Network, the legacy that she leaves behind is a very clear vision, which is how can we mobilize people to support the changes that are necessary to transform the way that we live on this earth. And I think that's very much one of the things that we're carrying with us. And, she was also a very loving person. And, it's something that we'll all miss is that level of support and compassion that she had. And she was a person who could challenge you to do your best and at the same time really push you to do more and support you in doing that and giving you whatever tools you needed.
And so young, I mean, 39, and she was a rising star, as she's been called, and she was, one of too few women who were really leading large environmental organizations.
That's very true. One of the stories that comes to mind is we were both in D.C. a couple weeks ago, and she had to go to a meeting with a number of U.S. government agencies and a number of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. And it's always interesting to be Rainforest Action Network in that room as a small and bold organization challenging the way that many of these businesses or even governments are operating. And when we were preparing for that meeting, we were going through the list of attendees, and it was very clear that not only would we be in a unique position as RAND, but she would be in a unique position as a young woman. And we talked about it a bit, and she said, yeah, it's not uncommon, and yet the voices of women are very important in this movement. And this is all, this is the time to get out there and to speak up. And she just took it with great stride, and it was very inspiring to others. The fearlessness that she had in going into that room, and when she came out with the report back, and she admitted going in, this could be a very uncomfortable failure. And she was open to that, and she accepted it as part of, her role in challenging the norms. And she came out and she said, I was surprised at the success that I had in presenting a different viewpoint and challenging us to move faster to transition away from a dependence on natural resources and fuels that's just not good for any of us. And she seemed to feel that there was a receptiveness there that she had not felt before. So I think it's just another reason to kind of rally and move forward, even though this is a tremendous loss.
And she, in her speech to the crowd gathered for REVEL, the annual fundraising party, it really is a great party that Rainforest Action Network holds in San Francisco, it was just a couple of months ago, and she talked about this huge victory against the Disney Corporation. So why don't you share that, because it really is pretty amazing what four Rainforest Action Network, maybe you were one of them, staff members were able to accomplish, I'm sure, with the power of Rainforest Action and the name behind it, but still pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is a remarkable victory. So just a couple years ago, we did some fiber testing to determine what kinds of forests were ending up in children's books, and we did that for a variety of books for the top 10 children's book publishers in the U.S., and it's because we suspected that forests, ancient tropical forests from Indonesia, were ending up in those books, and that's what we found. So we went out to all of these companies, and we said, listen, we've found this, and you need to change it. And many started on a process with us for transforming, how to incorporate more recycled content and reduce their use and, changing the way that they publish books. And there were a couple of big laggards, one of which was the Walt Disney Company, which many are shocked to find out that they are the largest children's book and magazine publisher in the world. And the other was HarperCollins. And so we decided to take on the biggest challenge we could in that campaign, and it was engaging with Disney because they hadn't responded to us, and they already had a policy and they weren't interested in moving beyond it. And there was an event that we used to gather public attention around this. And so Mickey and Minnie actually locked themselves to the gates of the headquarters where the executives would normally go into work one day, and hung above on their big arches a banner that said, you know, Disney destroying Indonesia's rainforest. And within a week, we had executives commit to flying up to meeting with us. And it took a very long time, which was one of the things that, you know, Becky noted in her speech. It took 18 months. And the reason it took so long is because it is the farthest reaching policy that we've done as Rainforest Action Network, because not only does it include all of the paper that Disney uses, from packaging to, you know, napkins on cruise ships to what they're putting into children's books, but it also includes all of their suppliers and vendors and even licensees. So if you think about anything that has any Disney licensed logo, whether it's, you know, some princess brand or Mickey Mouse, it includes all of that. And it was the first time that Disney had done such a large policy. So it's not to say that the work is done for that company, but it was a very, very significant step forward for them in changing the way that they think about using natural resources.
That's huge. And as is the case for Rainforest Action Network, you go after the biggest, you know, polluters or contributors to the problem, and then hope that the smaller ones fall behind. Do you know if that's happened after this, you know, victory?
Yeah, so where we're at right now, we have commitments from 9 of the 10 publishing companies, and the holdout is HarperCollins, which is, you know, as many of us know, it's connected to the Murdoch, so it is a different type of beast. But yes, that is a commitment that we have as RAN, is to figure out how can we think big and, you know, punch above our weight, as some would put it, but do the right thing, even though it seems difficult and sometimes impossible.
So with this void, I'm sure it's too soon to even ask who will take over the reins.
Yeah, what we have done is we've drawn together as the leadership team at RAN. We did have a very collaborative way of working that was supported by Becky, so that remains strong. And we've had tremendous support from our board. And I think we're drawing together our office is actually just reopening tomorrow, so we'll convene with staff, and we're very appreciative of the huge outpouring of support that we've seen from, you know, so many friends and members of our greater community. And so that's really meaningful. And I think, you know, we understand that there's a big void to fill, and we're also committed to drawing together and figuring out the best way to move forward, you know, along the lines of Becky's vision, which is very clear for a lot of us.
And I don't know what the usual term is for an executive director, but was there any reason to think that she, you know, could not have gone on for years heading up Rainforest Action Network?
No, we were, I think we all felt that we were, you know, hitting our stride under her leadership, and very much expected for her to continue in that role for at least the next couple of years. Having said that, she was a tremendous leader and a great planner, and so she also had already instituted quite a few safeguards to just make sure that in the event of, you know, anything catastrophic like this, we would be on very stable ground. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to look back now at what a, you know, thoughtful planner she was for putting us in such good position going forward.
So we have a few more minutes. Tell us about some other projects that Rainforest Action Network will be focused on in 2013.
Yeah, I work primarily on the forest side, so I can speak best to that. And our commitment is to stop deforestation that's just unchecked in Indonesia right now. And the reason that Indonesia is so important is not only does it have one of the largest rainforests left in the world, but it also has peat forests. And peat forests are a critical part of the climate equation. So Indonesia is the world's third largest greenhouse gas emitter, and it's not related to consumption of fossil fuels as it is for, you know, us and China, for the U.S. and China. But the driving reason is really because they are clearing peatlands and rainforests so quickly, and they're replacing it with pulp plantations, and they're replacing it with palm oil plantations. And so I already mentioned the publisher campaign where we found that pulp was coming into U.S. children's books. And now we're really turning our public attention to where palm oil, which is a vegetable oil, it's now the world's most commonly used vegetable oil. You know, it's found in these fruits and grown in palm trees, and they will literally light a rainforest on fire in order to clear as quickly as possible and to plant these trees so that they can produce the world's cheapest vegetable oil. So what we're looking to do, as you can imagine, the U.S. or U.S.-based companies are a huge draw as they're producing cheap manufactured, you know, junk food. Roughly half of manufactured food products contain palm oil, which is shocking to many folks.
And that's mostly processed foods, is that right, packaged foods?
Exactly. Processed foods are the culprit here, and which, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And so we're going to go back to U.S.-based companies who have global operations and who are using palm oil and, you know, rally public support and say, listen, this is a ridiculous use of rainforests, is to destroy them and to have major greenhouse gas emissions released just to create cheap vegetable oil for processed foods. And we expect to launch that in 2 or 3 months. So I think that'll be an exciting campaign for folks to get behind and to challenge some of the symptoms of corporate agribusiness. Because I think that's one of the other things that we always keep in mind at RAN, and it's one of the things that Becky was very good at leading on, is to say it's not just about this moment in time where a company changes the way that they work. It's about changing the underlying structures that are driving us toward this, you know, this climate cliff, as you put it earlier. So I think that'll be another one of the projects where we really challenge companies and big agribusiness traders like Cargill's and ADM's and Bunge's, who are supplying and dumping this oil on the world, and the companies who are grabbing it at the lowest cost, not considering the environmental and social impacts, and shoving it into processed foods that aren't good for anyone.
And why all of a sudden are we hearing about palm oil? Has it been widely used? And it's groups like Rainforest Action Networks that are bringing attention, public attention, to the ugly side, the downside of this production? Or is it just that there's so much more demand for processed packaged foods in America? Did it suddenly get cheaper? You know, I'm suddenly hearing a lot about it and had not heard so much, you know, even in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Palm oil was more common in Malaysia and was planted in some parts of Indonesia, and it is used regionally as a cooking oil. But I think the big bump that we've seen, particularly in processed foods in the U.S., was around the trans fat labeling, because palm oil can perform in a similar way without being labeled as trans fat. So when there was a big drive for companies to replace trans fats, palm oil was a very easy solution and a very inconvenient solution for the rest of us. So that, you know, jump in demand has really, that kind of created the incentive to clear at any cost. And the result is, you know, as these plantations come online for production, because it does take five to seven years roughly before they start bearing fruit, then we see it hit the markets in a heavy way, which just started to happen a couple years ago when Indonesia replaced Malaysia as the world's largest exporter of palm oil. So where we're at now, we're both at a place where the amount of palm oil plantations planted in Indonesia is just astonishing. So you can take a two-hour flight. You know, the last time that I was there in Borneo, I took a two-hour flight, and the entire time I was flying over palm oil plantations. And it is so, you know, this is such a critical ecosystem, and we're talking about, you know, very, very large island, that there's also this threat of it continuing. And so the opportunity that we have now that it's, you know, at the forefront of our mind, because it is the most commonly used vegetable oil, is to say, listen, we need to shut off this valve, and we need to prevent this from expanding further, and we need safeguards on the oil that is traded by players such as Cargill.
Hmm. Well, thanks so much, Lindsay Allen. I really appreciate all your comments and for joining us today to talk about the very, very untimely passing of Rebecca Tarbatten. I've seen her speak several times in person and have watched her talk. It's on YouTube if you want to Google if anyone's listening. And you'll see, just if you watch the one from just October 17th at the Revel gathering, her eloquence, her grace. She's fierce. You know, she's passionate, but she does it in kind of a lovely, almost low-key kind of way. So I really recommend anyone not familiar with her work, and now sadly what she's left behind, to get familiar with some of her talks. There are quite a few on the internet. So Lindsay, wish you well for the new year, and Rainforest Action Network rocks. Continue the great, impactful work that you've always done.
Thank you, Betsy.
We'll be back right after these messages. D.R. Tucker joins me to talk about some news that's occurred in the last couple of weeks since we were last on, and then we'll be talking